What's up, fools? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Full Fiction. This week, we have our long-awaited Barbenheimer episode. You don't want to miss it. It's long as hell, but we love these movies. Let's get into it.
Bienvenidos. Welcome back to another episode of Full Fiction.
What's happening, fools? It's Greg.
This is Steve.
Don't forget our socials. IG, full.fiction, Twitter, full_fiction, TikTok, full_fiction. Like, down, subscribe, follow, and hit the share button. Primos, primas, dias, dias. Anybody.
Anybody, dude. They don't even got to be related to you.
Airdrop. Just easy.
Airdrop it, like, in a big location, you know? Like, go to church, airdrop it there.
All right. This is going to be a huge episode. It's our Barbenheimer episode. But first, before we get into that, bro, I have a funny story that I did tell you about that happened to me immediately after I saw Oppenheimer.
Yeah. What happened?
You know how I told you I was going to go try to sell some comics?
Yes.
I went to the comic book shop, will remain nameless, to go sell these hoes. And like,
nah, name them bitches. Who is it?
Nah, remain nameless. I went there and I was like, all right. Yeah, dude, I was like, I don't read these comics. They're older. I was like, they got me worth some money. I was doing some Googling on eBay for like an hour last night, the night before, to make sure that I wasn't selling something for $5 that was really $150 because some of these are old as fuck. Because I was like, all right, cool. So I went to the comic book shop. I was like, all right, cool. And I had some little Marvel cards that I just saw as full. He's selling Marvel cards. Cool. I'll take those too. I went there. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. Let me take a look. Went through the box. I'll pass. I was like, no mames. I was like, what do you mean?
He passed on everything?
I was like, pass what, fool? I was like, what are you passing?
He said, I don't give a fuck about you.
I was like, I literally just stood there like shell-shocked. It felt like 15 seconds went by, but it was really probably like two. And
damn.
I was just like,
here you thought you're about to cash in.
I was like, I'm gonna go buy some like a snack after this, and I was like, no.
And he said, "Your shit ain't worth anything, bruh."
Really, I drove my ass home. I had a rice cake with some peanut butter on it. I was like,
"The walk of shame, bro."
Dude, it felt like the walk of shame. Dude, if there was a walk of shame in the nerd world, it's this one. Just dang, I thought I was gonna come up on like $40 or something. I lost money.
You lost gas money.
Yeah, I was like, I lost money.
Damn, dude. That's scandalous.
Bro, I was like, this is embarrassing.
I feel like you got to name the people now.
I can't do it. Remain nameless.
I think I know who it is.
Anyways, that's my story. My other story is I nearly pissed myself in the movie theater when I watched the Exorcist trailer.
Bro, I should have warned you. My bad.
Yeah, where the fuck was that?
Dude, I've been living in a, like, it's just terror the past couple of the days. I just forgot about it. I'm trying to forget about it. I watched that shit and I was like, no mames, bro. Fucking traumatizing.
If anybody's seen Oppenheimer, it is one of the trailers in Oppenheimer. At first, you just think it's about a story, two little girls that go missing. We got to find them. All right, cool.
Yeah, nowhere, I was all for it.
Yeah, I was like, all right, cool. Let's find these little girls. We got it. Let's go. And then out of nowhere, and because this bitch is, I'm watching this shit in IMAX, I could see every fucking detail. I was like, oh my God, this is about an exorcism of not just one little girl, which is like the classic scary, like, ah, fuck, the movies of little girls are scary as fuck, but two little girls? Ah, fuck off.
Yeah, no, I got, bro. So here on base, they play the national anthem before each movie. It's just what they do before the trailers come out, right? So I've been timing it, right? So I just show up for the the trailers. So here I am sitting down, popcorn in one hand, soda in the other, and the same thing, dude, two little girls go missing. I'm like, whatever, and one of those detective, I don't know, movies or whatever. Puta madre, dude, like, that trailer was fucking terrifying. The fact that it's two little girls, like, at one point one of them, their dad's like washing his face and she just pulls up like, what did you say? I would have knocked that bro, child services, come and take this one. She ain't ready.
I know. She, I was ready, like, bro. And they're doing some weird shit under the bed and looking up. I was like, oh, hell no. And then, like, in a split second, she got to the glass. I was like, whoo. We know what to do, bro. Whoo.
Dude, and the crazy thing about it, is like it's coming out what, September, early November.
Fuck if I know, bro. I ain't gonna watch it.
Yeah, dude, this podcast will not be covering it. We're actually starting a boycott. Go ahead.
Absolutely
and,
not.
There's gonna be a link in our bio. We're gonna start a GoFundMe to shut this movie down.
This one this and shit in our lives. The other movie, The Creator, we're gonna shut that shit down too.
Yeah. But most importantly, this one, bro. I don't give a fuck about the other one. This one's scary. And for all you know, that are into the scary movies.
I can't wait for the trailer to end, bro. Would it end? I was like, turn it off.
Dude, that's what I'm trying to get at. Like, for anybody that's into these scary movies, man, y'all have some issues. That's just like, that's no joke.
Dude, then I wanted to grab the fool next to me, his popcorn, and start throwing it at the screen. I was like, bro, I'll give you $15, bro. We could throw your popcorn at the screen.
Fucking Greg. Nah, dude, that was, I wasn't ready, bro. All I could think about was, I wasn't ready.
Bro, I started saying prayers. I was like, Jesus.
And then to make it worse, it's not like Oppenheimer is a fucking, it wasn't a scary movie by any means, but it wasn't like the most cheerful movie. After watching that kind of trailer, you kind of want to see Barbie. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, and I was like, God damn.
You kind of want to offset the terror that you're feeling with, I don't know, something cheerful. It was not the case.
Yeah, let's just get hopping on Barbie. Whoa. let's talk about Barbie.
Dude. Don't be a fucking Ken, bro. That's not cool.
Barbie. I went in not knowing what to expect, but this shit was really good.
It was pretty good, man. It was pretty good. I was
off tops. Impressed. Rotten Tomato score, 88%. Audience score, 84%. That's fairly accurate.
Yeah. No, I don't think I found anything that I didn't like. I mean, it's not like I know much about Barbie, but I liked what they did with what they had and with the knowledge that I had going into it.
Oh, yeah.
I was pretty happy about it, man.
Me and you are not the target demographic for this movie, but we said, fuck it. We bought and we watched it. And I was like, damn, I don't regret that. That was an amazing movie. That was a really good movie.
Yeah. No, facts, bro. And opening day earnings for Barbie was 70.5 million. So I think it far surpassed any expectations we or anybody had.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to do a quick Google. I think it's doing better than Oppenheimer.
Oh, no, for a fact, dude. Oh, I mean, just comparing opening day to opening day, like, they doubled and then some the earnings on just the first day. And that's really what matters. Like, in the long run, Barbie's going to make more money for sure. It appeals to a larger audience as opposed to Oppenheimer.
Absolutely. There is a full cult of Barbie. And like, you know what? After seeing the movie, I am mad at it. I understand.
Yeah, they went ham, dude. And like, it's the subtleness of certain things that I really appreciated, like the references to all the Barbies that, you know, didn't work out in real life, like the pregnant Barbie, like stuff like that, or Sugar Daddy Ken. That's hilarious.
Dude, like, that was funny. And the one where you lifted her arm and her tetas grew, I was like, what the fuck? That's a thing?
Like, stuff like that is awesome because they didn't shy away from all their, like, you know, stupidity. That shit was funny, man.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it was great. But I gotta say, being a male to talk about Barbie, I feel like I am contributing to the patriarchy.
Dude, if we don't say patriarchy at least like 10 times within the segment alone, I feel like we're doing the patriarchy wrong. Like, I even though it was titled Barbie, this really is a Ken movie.
Low-key. Like, there's some underwriting. Yeah.
Like, sure. Oh, the overall concept is Barbie, and by all means, it's her adventure. But like, Ken wasn't really the bad guy in any of this.
He was for a few minutes, but that's just because he was misunderstood. He didn't know how to express himself.
Bro,
full need to go to therapy and be his own Ken. Shut the beach off,
man. What's the one character though? Barbie, Ken, whomever that stole the show for you.
If you had weird one. Barbie, weird Barbie.
Really?
Dude, she's cracking me up, bro.
Dude, I loved Alan. I didn't know that there was an Alan made, and the fact that there's an Alan there, and he's fucking up these Kens. I'm
Alan's getting down. I was like, all right, Michael Nunn and Michael Cera had it like this.
Dude, the surprise cast members, like John Cena being in this shit, for that made a little me laugh. Bit, I was like, who the fuck invited this guy? Like, just random ass buff dude in the ocean.
I was like, whoever did this, and the people that want to be a part of it, they did a great job. But I will tether myself and say I had to get Kathy's perspective on the Barbie movie. She's seen it twice. Once with her best friend, Jules, and then once with me. I was like, hey, want to go see Barbie? She's like, yeah. I was like, all right, bet. And her favorite part of Barbie, she loved the fact that they nailed that little girls play with Barbies. You know how she just fucking floated down from the second story into the car? And I was like, she's like, I don't even think her, she's like, I don't even think my little Barbie dream house even had stairs. And I was like, you know what? That's a fair point. Why would you need stairs?
Yeah, no.
It makes total sense.
And that's the little things, like the way that they ate, the way that they showered, all that stuff, right? It's very intuitive to what it would look like if you were playing with the Barbie and hunting, you know, feeding them or showering them or whatever, driving. Even the driving itself was fucking, like, it's same.
Just because, like, the correlation between the body size and the car size was hilarious because, like, cars are actually a lot bigger than humans and the humans are bigger. I was like, that's so funny. But she liked that it was a Barbie Land's exactly how it was sold to her as a kid, which from my nostalgia of watching a lot of Nickelodeon and seeing so many Barbie commercials, I was like, wait, that is familiar. Because, like, all the shit, like, the ambulance that pops up and shit just, like, comes out of the ambulance. I was like, oh, shit.
See, and I didn't catch that. I don't remember seeing those commercials. I just realized that it looked like the way that they were moving just looked very much like they were being played with in some other reality or that's just how they operated. I really think, though, that Margot Robbie stole the, like, the movie. Like, the fact that she's the
perfect... She was the main character.
Dude, she was a real-life, like, Barbie, though. Like, she is... Like, they casted her very well.
Yeah, she nailed it. She was one of the producers, so I was like, I don't know if this was her idea or she was one of the brains behind it, but she deadass looks like stereotypical Barbie from the 90s. Nailed it. Oh, and then I just had to ask Kathy, what was her favorite Barbie? And she said it was Swan Lake Barbie, which that motherfucker had wings. And her brother turned it into Weird Barbie, which I think is so funny.
Wait, her actual brother?
Yeah.
Fuck.
She cut the Barbie's hair. I was like, oh, this is too real. I was like, man. I was like, dang, they nailed it. If this actually happens, they're like, they nailed it.
Yeah, no, dude, I was very impressed with just all the, like, the little things, because it's all in the details, right? At one point, they were throwing clothes, and every time they threw a clothes, it was like the article of clothing, and they would reference our article of clothing that at one point
was so clever.
Was for a Barbie. Yeah, and then just the acting, dude. We had Simu in here, Kingsley. He legit just played Gravik, like, on Secret Invasions. Dua Lipa had a part as a Barbie.
You have
all these, like, just actors that came in, and it was so fun, bro. The whole beaching off segment, dude, in the beginning,
I was
like, bruh, I'm gonna beat you up for it. I was like, that shit was hilarious, man. Like, oh, I've never laughed so hard at a bunch of guys beaching each other off. Like, like, I'm beach Ken. That's what I do. I beach off. All right, man. Go ahead.
They set it up perfectly to be like, that's all Ken does. Ken doesn't really do anything. He's just like, oh yeah, Ken's here too. He's like that guy that you just kind of bring along. Like,
I think that's why I like the Ken's story, right? Because Ken is almost an afterthought, right? It's really just Barbie's world. And
no, he is an afterthought. Not right. Almost. He is.
Well, I mean, he still has a role to play in the world, but they made him feel and look a certain way. Like, you feel the way that Barbie treats him, how it's affecting his just persona. And then you go into the real world and he realizes that it's not the way that he's lived his life. Can you imagine that? Like, having a whole ass different perspective, like, in another reality, females actually run the world. And it's not that they don't now, but, like, I mean, you know.
Way to step into it.
I'm just saying, dude, that's just that's what they were trying to say. That females don't run the world, but then what if they did?
Yeah. Barbie president, Barbie, there's a bunch of them just
Dude, Barbie president was fucking hilarious. Issa Rae was hilarious, bro. When she came in at the end and said, fuck, I was like, oh.
Dude, I was dying. Dude, her show Insecure from HBO Max is now on Netflix.
Hell yeah. Bro, what, this movie is rated PG-13, right? Which I thought was bold. For the movie itself, you would think they would want it to be a PG movie, or
I think anybody could watch it.
Right. No, it's like, so you would take your kids to watch this movie because the words that they say or the references that they make are, we can understand them as adults, but it wasn't too bad. You know, like I can see a 6-year-old, 5-year-old girl going to watch this movie and enjoying everything. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like they said penis and vagina, like at one point, and that wasn't bad or anything. Like, I think Lily and I are having a debate, like, oh, is this movie suitable for little girls? I'm like, I would think so.
I
And
think
then
so.
you
I'm
go
not a little
see
girl,
it.
but I think so.
Yeah, but you know, some parents are like, no, they can't hear anything. I'm like, they're different to hear, bro.
I'll just listen, put the radio on, fool, see what happens. Dude, I thought it was really clever the way they put the different like seasons, and like it was like Barbie and Ken going through space, Barbie and Ken camping,
Oh,
Barbie and
to
Ken on a
exit?
boat.
Yeah.
No, just to get in and out of the world. Okay, yeah, my bad.
Yeah,
Before, let's
to
back
exit,
up.
yeah.
Let's back up and be like, so she starts having the impure thoughts because the child that's supposed to be playing with her is like losing faith or whatever. And so like she immediately like, she's losing her perfectness. She got flat feet. And I was like, that's all I took away. People with flat feet, they the devil. Imagine? That'd be so
Yeah,
fun.
I have flat feet, bro. That hurt.
I knew it.
I'm like, these motherfuckers.
All right, that's the end of this podcast.
Nah, dude, but that was her vision quest. Like, that's when she got like, okay, I need to go on this mission. But I guess to your point, the exiting and entering of Barbie World was pretty cool. Like
That was clever.
put on different. It reminded me almost of Elf. You know, when he leaves
Yeah.
the like
I feel like
the
that was
North
also
Pole.
like, I feel like I've seen those commercials before where they're trying to sell that play set of a certain setting
Right.
or
And
season.
they're supposed to be floating, and obviously you're just grabbing the doll, going up and down, and that's what it was. Like, it's that subtleness, man. And dude, I think once they got onto the real world, and there was a
Tough
few
place,
mo,
bro. I can't believe they
bro,
had to end up in Venice Beach, bruh.
dude,
Of all the beaches, bro. Oh, Jesus Christ.
why are you hating, big dog?
You
Venice
been to
Beach
Venice
isn't,
Beach, bro?
it's not that bad, dude. I
Recently,
thought it
it's not
was,
that bad, but like a few years ago,
dude.
gah,
The
wee.
advice that weird Barbie gave her, wear a bunch of bright colored clothing, you won't stand out. I was just like, they stood out first thing
Immediately.
immediately. They went to jail like 5 times, dude.
I
I
know.
thought
I
that
was like,
was
God damn.
hilarious.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus.
And they stole the clothing. They're like, what do you mean we have to pay for this? It's the patriarchy, man, making you pay for shit.
Yeah, and that's when she looks back at her memories, is able to see which school to go to, which I thought was pretty clever. Which was because I was like, there's really no way to link them together until she did that. So she does that, and then Ken goes and discovers the patriarchy, which turned out to be so fucking funny. It just turned into a Western thing.
Like the fact that he identifies patriarchy with Western wear and horses and just everything was fucking hilarious, man. And then just even all that, right? Like the little things where you have those corporate people and a female tries to talk to them, and you know she gets told to hold on a moment, and while they're laughing, or even like the two guys coming out of the gym together, and he's just like, oh, we can have you know this world that belongs to us. I thought that was pretty funny. Like that whole him self-discovering that it's not about women or not about Barbie was pretty funny.
Yeah, and then he's like, let me perform a surgery. No. Let me see a
But
doctor.
I am a doctor. Let me see the other doctor. But
He's
I'm
like, let me.
a
I was like, dog. I was like, man, this is so funny. Because I was like, you could tell, like, growing up, there were those kids that, like, but no, I'm me. It's fine. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Dude, he when they were asking for his just for his certifications, and he's like, but I'm a guy. What do you
Yeah.
mean? It's
I don't need it.
like you're hired right now. That was funny.
Dude, that was killing me. Bro, well, then at the scene where Barbie finally meets Sasha and then tries to be like, no, I'm Barbie. And then Sasha just rips her to pieces. And the other girl told her she's gonna kill you. I'm just like, it couldn't be
Yep.
that bad. Everyone loves me. And then she hits her with the unrealistic beauty standards and consumerism. I was like, bro, I remember there was a time period a few years ago, maybe like a decade ago, where people were against Barbie because of shit like that. And that's when Barbie started becoming a little more diverse. So I was like, God, that's so funny that they really got hit with that, the unrealistic beauty standards.
Well, I don't think it was like it didn't make her diverse. I think it just shattered her fucking world at that point. Like she's already you know, getting cellulite and you know, flat feet and all this, all this other shit, right? That's making her go crazy. And she comes into that conversation with the expectation that because of her and her stereotypicalness, that women everywhere are happy with her. And then to have that come from, you know, Sasha, I think really like just hit her hard, bro.
Oh, and then we saw that thing on Instagram you sent me with the right guy.
Like somebody pointed out that those four girls were named exactly after the Bratz dolls. And to like reference that point in time that Barbie and Bratz had a whole thing.
I was like, that's funny. What a way to put your competition in there and be like, bitch.
Bro, they called out everybody in this movie, man.
Dude, they even went, Mattel went after themselves. Barbie. I love that shit.
That's what I love. Dude, nothing is funnier than when you make a mistake and you call yourself out on it. Pregnant Barbie, fucking, I want to call her Big Theta Barbie. We got to get her real name, dude. At some point, we got to get her real name, because that's Sugar Daddy Barbie. And then what's that other dude? That guy that was hanging out in the weird Barbie house. Like, all of them, like, that is what I love, dude, that Mattel called. Dude, even what they did in the conference room.
That was really funny.
That the fact that this is it's Mattel, right? It's a girl's toy or woman's toy, and then boom, all guys in there.
Yeah, all wearing the same fucking suit, and they're just carbon copies of each other, and
and all of them know exactly what Barbie needs and you know should do. I'm like, this is pretty fucking hilarious. Like,
I was like, this is what everyone kind of assumes, anyways. It's like, no, we've had two female CEOs in our lifetime,
and they're like, the last one was 1998. I'm like, no mames way.
I was like, is this still true? Wait, hold on.
No, bro, those are all facts. Like, that's facts. And then, dude, fast forward to later in the movie, right? That female that came out at the very end was the last CEO of Mattel. And she did have tax evasion issues, which I thought was hilarious. Like, she called herself out on her own tax issues. I'm like, fucking IRS, dude. Just putting women down, dude. Being a total fucking Ken.
Typical. Anyways, I want America Ferrera, aka what's her name? Gloria? No, no. But she goes back and finds that she's like, Barbie, get in. And what a Chevy commercial that was, bro. The Chevy went for it, and
dude,
they got it.
They didn't even try to make that not a commercial. I'm like, okay.
Dude, that is literally a commercial I saw on Hulu yesterday.
I was like, they really said they really said we're gonna get our money's worth right now.
Mattel says, Chevy, you ready to link up? And they said, bet.
Hell yeah, let's go ahead and make this fucking partnership, bro. Dude, American Ferrera, like,
nailed it.
So she did such a great job. Honestly, I was so impressed with her performance, and she really made you feel a certain type of way about that mother-daughter connection and how it does tend to fade. I mean, as a kid growing up, right? I guess it doesn't have to be mother-daughter, but just at some point in your life, you kind of start disconnecting from your parents. Unless you're Latino and live with them until you're 35, then that's a whole different story. But
damn, at some point, fired.
Dude, locked and loaded, big dog. Locked and fucking loaded. But the point is, like, with Sasha growing apart, Gloria did feel that she needed to, like, hold on to anything that reminded her of that childhood. And that thing was Barbie, which I thought was amazing, man.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that little plot twist, because you saw it coming. I didn't see it coming. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, wow.
Dude, I saw that coming. I don't know why. I'm like, this isn't a Sasha story. This is going to be fucking Gloria.
It made sense because they weren't showing her face. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and you're so focused on the little girl that you're like, oh, okay, it's going
to
be...
I didn't expect it to be that deep at all.
Dude, no. And one scene that I cannot, like... We have to cover is the bus stop scene, bro. I think this is Lily's favorite scene. How Barbie's falling apart. Sasha just ripped her fucking bandaid off, and she's saying, "You're the reason why everything's wrong in the world." And she meets that the elderly lady sitting down. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yes,
I do. That's Anne Roth. That's the actual daughter of the person that made Barbie, which I thought was pretty great.
I didn't even know that. That's pretty good. I really like they did that. Dude, this movie was so much deeper than I expected it to be. Because
They did, man.
yeah, when Gloria tried to make the connection of like her childhood playing with Barbie and then trying to share that with her daughter and then her daughter hating Barbie and then, dude, I was like, whoa, so deep. Oh, hit me in the feels. I never even had a Barbie. Oh my God.
Yeah, man, it really gets you like, and it doesn't try to ostracize anybody, right? Not Barbie nor Ken. Like at some point in time during the movie, you feel bad for Ken, you feel bad for Barbie,
Yeah, that
and
afterthought.
you're able to like sympathize or empathize with them. And I'm like, okay, I can fuck with this. This movie was very like super. It looks very superficial, but it has a deeper meaning, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I think kids will be able to understand it too. And then let's see. When they get back to Barbie Land and it's all about the patriarchy, it's like, damn, how Ken works quick, bro. God damn.
Ken does not do it. He figured it out.
He can do anything. Wait, I'm trying to wait.
I thought it was kind of weird and funny that Ken was able to like reprogram all the Barbies by himself. I'm
Yeah.
like, my boy's got a bigger brain than if he's able to reprogram everybody.
Yeah, pretty much. And then all of a sudden, all the Barbies turned into maids and housewives. And I was like, oh dear. Oh dear. And then like all their outfits changed until I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, no, for a fact, dude.
And then just because of the current state of mental health awareness in the country, and then Barbie turned into depressed Barbie, and then I was like, wow, this hit hard for some Barbies in the world right now.
I mean, I'd be pretty fucking sad, dude, if I lost my house
Yeah,
to,
Phil just moved in. I was like, ah, oh, hell, no mom this
like,
way. We gotta fight, bro.
at that point, is that your ex? Like, and then he replaced you with a different version of yourself? I'm like, damn, somebody's crying right now.
Well, that's when America Ferrera and her daughter and Barbie, they try to get to Weird Barbie and be like, how do we fix this? And their ultimate plan of turning the Kens against each other by like being with the Ken they're
Going,
supposed to be with and then
dude,
switching up Kens.
it's
Oh my,
going,
I was
it,
dying,
dude.
bro.
It was going after their egos, bro. That the funniest thing about that scene wasn't the fact that there was a switcheroo halfway, which was pretty fucking hilarious. It's the fact that all these fools are singing the same fucking song
Yep.
around the same fucking campfire, playing the same guitar. I'm like, nothing about them is original, which I think is hilarious. Aside from the looks and their appearance, like they're not. Ken isn't individual like the way Barbie is, whether you have a Barbie president, you have a stereotypical Barbie, a doctor Barbie, a lawyer Barbie. Ken is his fucking Ken, dude.
Yep.
He just changes colors, bro. The
Yeah,
chameleon of the fucking Barbie world. That's all he is, man.
he is most replaceable because I feel like little girls, I feel like most of the time also have brothers, which also would probably have another toy like a Power Ranger or a G.I. Joe, which they be like, you know, I'm gonna match him up with this fool instead of Ken, who's a nobody.
Yeah.
So Ken most replaceable. But and then when they had
But
the you go for a dude, it's so
no,
funny.
you, dude. But then, the way that they instigated that fight, man, like
So funny.
the switching of the Barbies, like they identified which Ken liked them the best, and they went towards the one that you know he knew that they knew that Ken didn't like, right? Like Simu and Ryan Gosling fighting each other was hilarious, man. And by the time these dude, that whole battle scene was some of the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Just like the Playtor arrows going at them, like it's just hilarious.
Dude, that was so funny. It was so underrated, that scene. So funny. Hilarious. And like the ocean isn't really ocean. Oh my God, killing me. And then when they finally collide, like and then you can see those Barbie sparkles everywhere. Dude, this is so fun. Then they had like their Grease moment where they're all singing in black shirts. I was like, dude, this is so fucking funny,
Dude, the chest off. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing, dude? And
man.
he's taking off his shirt,
It's a beach
exposing
off,
his.
bro.
I'm like, are they beaching each other off? Like, what the fuck? Next thing you know, dude, all I see is gold showers.
Anyway, that is the day they're supposed to vote on the democracy thing, Kenmocracy, and the Barbies win. They take it back and they reclaim Barbie Land. I was like, man, this is so funny. And then Barbie and Ken have their come to Jesus moment, and like they both admit that they need to, Ken has to respect Barbie more and not just always try to get at her. And then she's like, you know what? Every night doesn't have to be girls' night. I was like, dang, fool. And then she's like, but you have to be your own person because Barbie and Ken, and like, it's Barbie and it's Ken. So fool, discover yourself, dog.
Dude, I've never had a girlfriend go tell me to basically go fuck around to the Barbies. I'm like, okay. Ken got the hall pass, bro. The hall pass of all hall passes.
Bro, I thought they broke up right there. There ain't a hall pass. They're over, bro.
Dude, they never established that. The one thing, though, that I will say was, I want to know the magic behind her becoming a real woman. Just like, how did that happen?
All right, mijo. When a man and a woman.
How do you become a real woman once you're a Barbie, bro? I know about the birds and the bees, Greg.
I just had to make sure you knew that.
Like that whole ending, which I thought was cool, right? That, who was that? I think it was Barbara something.
Oh, the lady that when they had their scene in like the white room, and she told her like Barbie, when she's trying to find her purpose, and she's like, Barbie's story isn't finished. She can create her own story. And I was like, ah, mm-hmm. Feels.
I'm like, that was fucking great, dude.
I was like, that was a great scene. That was a great little white room scene. And she hits the real world, and you know, I thought she's finna get a job.
Nah, bro. She is getting checked out.
Yeah, and I was like, ah. Also important, health and safety.
Health and safety. You legit put, I dead ass thought she was gonna get a job. But you better believe, though, after that gyno, she's gonna go get a job, because dude, that dad at the end, I'm like,
I hope she got insurance.
Something, dude.
That dad at the end, I was like, dude, this fool is unnecessary as fuck.
Dude, that was hilarious, though. He speaks better Spanish than most people. I'm like, okay. Now we know who the dad is.
Yeah.
Dude, I think the Barbie had such an amazing intro. Going back to the beginning with the little girls playing with dolls. Like, I think that's what...
They started going ham, bro. I was dude, dead.
That one girl that fucking, like, took out all her aggression that she had, is gonna have, and will ever have on that one doll. I'm like, God damn. I never expected a 3-year-old to have such anger. Like, good shit.
I don't know. It's just like, couldn't have bagel bites for dinner. She's like,
dude, bro. That was funny. But overall, dude, Barbie was really good. And when I say really good, like, this is better than a lot of things out there right now.
So many, and bro.
It's going to stay in the top, I want to say, all right, for a while, dude. Like, I don't see anything coming in and really knocking it out of his pedestal.
I looked up the box office numbers official, like, worldwide, it's made $823 million. Mm-hmm. Just to comparison, Oppenheimer worldwide has made $425 million. So, yeah, they are swimming in cash, bro.
How does that compare with other movies?
Well, they're approaching the billion mark, so that's pretty... Hardly any movies hit the billion. Oh, wait. Super Mario Brothers movie hit 1.3 million worldwide. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 hit 845. So this year, Barbie's third.
Hey, that's not bad. And it's only been, what, a week? It came out a week ago?
It came out San Diego Comic Con day.
2021. So it's been out. It's going to go on 3 weeks. Okay. Or it's going to go on 2 weeks.
Very impressive.
It's doing good, man. Overall, dude, I loved it. The movie was, it was about beauty, you know, like not your typical beauty, but just the fact that everybody can be beautiful. And it was her self-discovery throughout this entire mess. Like, once you think you know yourself, you get older and things change, and it's okay to accept that change and still be beautiful, which is, you know, something that Barbie has always represented, right? The standard for beauty. And a couple of years ago, there was a lot of shit on how it kind of makes other people feel bad that they're not that perception of beauty is really unobtainable.
I'm gonna say it again and again, bro. You're smarter than you look.
Dude, I've been telling you for years, man, and people don't know this. but
you're not just a funny looking guy. You're a smart guy.
Dude, I'm not just a Ken, bro. I sometimes am an Allen. For the most part, I can fuck people up.
Oh, yeah.
Up a
Shout
lot
out
more
Allen,
than...
bro. Shout out Allen. He really helped the Barbie stand up and rise and defeat the patriarchy. I'm going to say to all the people that say Barbie's a man-hating movie, stop being a little
Who the
bitch.
Fuck is saying that, dude?
Bro, there's some, you know, like them super right-wing people are just like, it's a man-hating movie. And I was like, bro, you are a baby back bitch. And I mean that.
I don't know, man. I haven't seen that. But I'm pretty sure they do feel like that. Like I said, I don't think it was meant to ostracize anybody. Like, Ken, I guess, was the villain,
was
right? And he wasn't very villainous. He was mostly like the opposition.
Yeah.
And
he came around and he was just like, you know what? You're right, Barbie.
I am Knuff. Bro.
Dude, they're really selling that shit online. I am Knuff on like Mattel.com or some shit.
I tell myself that every day. Look in the mirror before I go to work. Just tell myself that.
All right. You ready to rate the movie?
Yeah, I'm ready to rate the movie.
Me too.
Go first.
I'm gonna give it 9 out of 10. It was really fucking good.
Yeah,
I had like a little slow bit in somewhere in the middle to the end part, but it was 9 out of 10.
It was, man. 9 out of 10.
We never give anything 9 out of 10 at the same time.
Yeah, like it's better. And I don't know if it's because, and I, like I, you know, you expect a lot from movies like Marvel or DC because we more or less know the storyline or the way it's supposed to go. But not knowing anything about this going into it, just enjoying the movie.
I didn't know
bro,
shit.
9 out of 10.
I was like, does Barbie have a storyline? Like, what's going on here? I don't know.
Dude, and this has the potential of being like the top rated movie this year. Like, I can see it. Like, it's going to give Guardians a run for its money. It's for sure going to pass Mario. Like, it's going to be fucking legit, bro. Like, and that's including the fact that a lot of big countries are banning it. Like, fucking China. And everybody else in that boat that's just not supporting this movie, like
they got haters, bro. All the best ones got haters.
I don't know, man. You ban a movie, it makes me want to watch more. I'm like, fuck, bet. I'm gonna stream this shit online, LimeWire, bro.
Okay, on to the next. You ready to go for the next segment?
I'm down, dude.
Oppenheimer. 11 out of 10. No notes. All right, wrap it up.
Yeah, dude. Like, as much as we've said about Barbie, and Barbie is a fucking great movie. Don't get me wrong. Oppenheimer?
Great movie.
Yeah, when you say 11 out of 10, dude, it's not doing enough justice. Like, this was masterful. Like, when you think about going to watch a movie and the sound, the graphics, just every
the
component
visuals
that goes into a movie-making experience, this fucking movie had it. And then some.
I'm literally the storytelling. This was literally two movies in one. It was 3 hours long. And it felt like it was going fast the whole time.
Yeah. Like I didn't feel.
I wasn't bored at all.
Dude, so Mission Impossible was the last long movie I watched. And even though there was a lot of action in it, I felt the 3 hours. I was like, I was getting anxious. I'm like, I just want to, it's just taking
I'm gonna go
forever.
Home. Fuck.
Wrap this bitch up, kick his ass one more time, let's go home. Nah, dude, this movie was 3 hours long, really didn't feel like it. I was really engaged and just entrapped in the storytelling. Right now, it stands at 93% Rotten Tomatoes score with a 91% audience score, which is really fucking good. It's doing better than Barbie in terms of like critiques and
yeah.
Right,
and you could tell how some people in the country did not want to watch Oppenheimer. So I'm like, I mean, some people in the world, not the country, some people in the world did not want to watch Oppenheimer. I get it. Some people are on the wrong side of that big boom.
Well, I mean, the movie doesn't, like, it covers like geopolitics, it covers like a lot of groups in this fucking movie have been affected by it, you know, or at least the scope of the way we look at them has changed, and it is kind of one-sided because it is Oppenheimer's story.
Yeah,
but
it's about him. Well, it should be because it's his name on
right.
the title.
But at the end of the day, like a lot of the stuff that happened is indeed fact. Like it's
his life really was a movie.
Damn, bro! If my life had that much drama, god damn,
drum, bro! Literally, he gave them the power to destroy themselves. Okay, this movie. history, politics, Nazis, physics.
Oh, dude.
Communism, fucking America, all in one gigolo, bro.
Bro, the beginning of the movie, right, has a phrase talking about...
Prometheus was phrase fire, literally.
Prometheus gave fire to the humans, and for that he was punished, right? That's exactly what happened. Like, that's the perfect phrase to really discuss what he did. Yeah, he gave us the atomic bomb. Me,
bro. God damn.
And dude, he will forever be judged on that. Like, he created just the deadliest weapon we ever have. Like, to this day, we still have fear of that ever coming to fruition. Just a mass exodus of atomic bombs, hydrogen bombs. Be a bad day for everybody.
Yeah, I was like, well, basically, okay, the first, 35 minutes of the movie is about him in Europe trying to discover quantum physics and meeting people throughout the world who are big in physics.
Yeah. Well, the movie is, it's not complicated, but the way that they did
they dumbed it down where we could understand it. Us right. Mere mortals could understand it.
Right, but the complication comes from, or at least I thought that it was, you know, where it was really, I don't want to say hard to follow, but just like the storyline isn't just linear, right? It's the past and then a couple years forward and then come back. So it does jump around.
A little bit, but you're able to tell. I was able to tell based on his hair.
Oh, yeah, his hair. No, yeah, you're able to tell the age and what's happened. So most of the story is taking place in, we'll call it the now. He's being charged, or his security clearance is coming up, and he's being reevaluated for that, right? That's the now. And so the whole time, it's almost as if it were in a court where he's being asked. And then you have Robert Downey Jr. on the other side also being asked stuff. What happened?
Oh, no, I was like, Robert Downey Jr., he's going to get a fucking every award for his supporting actor role.
Bro,
that's everyone, as much as Ryan Gosling killed it and it is deserving, Robert Downey Jr. hit a new fucking level.
Oh, dude, so Barbie was a movie and what they did is just out of this world. But I feel like what they did in Oppenheimer was acting to the next level, dude.
Bro, the storytelling and the going to black and white and Strauss telling his story from his point of view and how he admired Oppenheimer until he had that, they showed that moment with Einstein where all of a sudden he was like, what the fuck just happened? I hate this motherfucker.
And that's the thing, dude. So you have Strauss is telling a story and Oppenheimer is telling a story. They're both going through a similar situation where Oppenheimer is being interrogated by a bunch of people in terms of his security clearance, and Strauss is trying to become the next chief of whatever the fuck science board he wants.
In the cabinet of the president's cabinet. That's what right.
So, but you never know Strauss's intent within the first 2 hours. For the whole movie, Strauss is on Oppenheimer's side. The way he tells his story is he's on Oppenheimer's side. So this whole time, based on questions that they're being asked, is when you get the flashbacks. How did this happen? So you see a young Oppenheimer trying to discover his role in this whole scientific world, where at the beginning he was unsure of himself. He was smart, but he wasn't really good at the practical stuff. Like, all his doing was theoretical. It wasn't until
there's a common theme. Like, this fool's not good at math.
Dude, I was like, so you're telling me you can be not good at anything, but just have a theory? Sign me up. I'll do that job. I can theorize all day, big dog.
Yeah, then make the math work, fool. Make the math work.
Give it to some nerd. Hey, nerd, fucking do the math, bruh. I'm like, dude, is that how science works? Probably not.
Yeah, pretty much that's how it works, bro.
I was like, holy shit.
It all starts with a question.
It's pretty dope, man.
A hypothesis. Let me tell you, since I watched this movie, it's made me want to be smarter. I'm going to start reading a book again.
Almost, but not.
Just one book.
And it's got to be a book, too. It can't be a comic, bro.
Nah, real book. Not that comics aren't real books, but a thick-ass book. So, this movie was literally, amazing storytelling. I can't even, you don't even know where to start, just because.
Ah, dude, too easy. Start at the beginning, right? This motherfucker.
It's 3 hours. Here we go.
So this, so Oppenheimer, right? He builds a name for himself, ends up at Berkeley. That's what really happens. He builds a name for himself, ends up at Berkeley. But he is, during this time, it's right around, I want to say before World War II, during World War II, right? There's a lot of fear against Nazis, Soviets. It's
different a time forms of communism,
fascism. It's just, it's a period of time where being an American is like you have to follow the status quo, or you'll find yourself in an FBI fucking style room being interrogated for like 4 or 5 days. Like, this is before social media, so it's like you go missing, big dog. It's going to take us 2 years to find you, if we find you. And he has ideas that really coincide with freedom of speech and what freedom to practice whatever religion you want to practice and all this stuff. But it kind of goes against what, at the time, patriotism was all about. Like, he was supportive of a lot of Soviet thought, but because of that, it really caused a lot of issues for him during his life.
Yeah, because his brother was trying to join the Communist Party, or did join the Communist
Party. Yeah, he was part of the Communist Party.
Mm-hmm. But Oppenheimer was associated, trying to send money. His brother, he went to a meeting, didn't join, went to a meeting. He was trying to send money to the Spanish people, refugees, but he had to do it through communist channels, so it made him look like a communist, which is literally a huge part of why he would not get clearance, because, like, fool, why would you do this, dog? And as much as he tried to tell him, they're like, but you did it.
Yeah, and I mean, his reasoning behind everything was like, well, they're Spanish refugees. They're for war out there against, you know, Nazis. He wanted to help them out, and so he would send money. But by doing so, he associated himself to a large extent, really, because all his friends were part of the Communist Party. A lot of his acquaintances were part of the Communist Party.
That's because a lot of the best physicists were German and Jewish. And so it was like, which side is he on?
So it isn't until like the first hour mark that like the team gets built. This is like your Avenger moment.
Yeah, dude, he went full Nick Fury, and I was like, ah, damn. Yeah,
this was his Avenger moment, bro. He wasn't even offered the job, and he accepted the job. Like, this is how fucking like on point he was. And real quickly, dude, Cillian Murphy,
dude, he's gonna win every award.
Matt Damon, fucking great acting, like. Everybody in this movie, I feel, A-game. Outdid themselves. Yeah, like they.
And then they walked out because of the strike, and they said, "No, mom, fuck it." Boom. And like, well, we know what we dude, did.
When you're that good, you don't. I don't gotta sit through this shit.
That's like reminding me when Deion Sanders running like a 4.240, and then just walked out of the rest of the combine and said, "You know what happened?"
Dog, like, you don't gotta prove yourself. The fuck? No, dude. But really, all the actors, bro. Emily Blunt, I've always had the perception that she's like this kind-hearted person, or she's always played roles where she's nice or whatever. This role, I feel, to the others, you know, spectrum, like where she wasn't mean or anything, but like her being like a drunk mother, not being able to, like, you know, help her baby, all that stuff. It kind of put things into like, oh shit, this is real. Like, this can actually happen. I'm sure it's hard raising a child when you don't have one. And she was married 3 other times. Like, all that stuff was pretty greatly explained. Like, I feel like we almost kind of got everybody's.
I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, they did her character dirty. Like, they're just like, and then she gets cheated on. And I was like, oh my God, dude, she's
bro. Let me tell you something, bro. So
crying the whole movie, bro. Oh, dude, except for that one party where she looked like a boss. I was like, God damn, she about it.
Dude, let me tell you something. I'm in El Paso right now, right? And New Mexico is a bordering state, so White Sands, where this whole testing is that actually happened, is like 45 minutes away. That wind that y'all saw, in any fucking moment that there was like a testing or they were in the location,
like, oh,
that
the is window clear
that is accurate as fuck. Like, that wind was exactly how it is here, man. And I think
that's
like just the fact that they, allergies season is all the time. But the fact that they did all that, dude, that they showed how stuff like the wind played such a huge factor in dealing with the radiation when they did the test, oh, it was great, man. But once he built his team, dude, you start to realize that he had like different sectors, man. He had one sector in Chicago.
Yeah, doing theoretical, people that put it together, and like four different parts, and it just so happened that New Mexico was in the middle of them.
Well, I feel like the fact that he owned the ranch down there and it was a perfect
place. That was also place, helpful.
Yeah, perfect place for like, hey, there's nobody around. It's fucking New Mexico. Like, the wind is a bitch. Nobody wants to
nobody
live
wants
there.
To be around. Like, we see people coming 25 miles away.
You can drop a bomb on this bitch and nobody would know. That's what they said, bro. And dude, the whole time they're fucking building this team. It wasn't just Oppenheimer. He had maybe the idea, or he had the foresight to put things together. But it was a lot of people whose hands were involved.
And like, this all came because they're like, oh, the Russians have already done, like, they're 18 months ahead of us. We need to get down.
Oh, yeah. And it's because the scientist community was all so close to before the war that Oppenheimer knew the guy who was fucking doing it. He's like, nah, this guy is like far in advance from where we're at.
And that guy is the same guy that played a thief in like some of the Netflix movies.
Is he?
Yeah. I was like, I like that guy, dude. He's so fucking funny. But yeah, in this one, he's a German scientist.
He wasn't too funny. He was a German scientist, yeah. He was the opposition. But what I liked about it is during the whole time that they're building the bomb, first of all, they're like touching all this radioactive material. Nobody's wearing any kind of protective gear. Classic. They were like, just no fucks given about safety.
Bro, I'm like, I just watched a YouTube video. Some guy went to go tour the site like last year, and he brought a Geiger counter with him. It's still way radioactive.
Oh, dude. Yeah, dude. Fuck that. Like, nah.
I was like, nah, I'm good, dog. I'm good.
Shit, I almost got radiation from the fucking movie. But, dude, that entire, like, time crunch, I feel like, was, you can really feel the anxiety behind it.
Fucking suspense. Yeah, dude, I was getting anxious. And half the time I thought that fool Teller was against us. I was like, motherfucking getting long, dog.
But Teller, dude. I think he's the one that built the
he's trying to build the hydrogen bomb.
I think he does.
But I don't know. So I thought he was just a little suspect. And then he's the one that had like an accent. So I was like, whose team is he on?
Wow, dude, that's kind of racist. You went based off the old accent.
Accent. And then, like, he was always just like playing the devil's advocate and everything, which, like, you need that. But also, I was like, don't know about this guy, and everyone's kind of like, fuck that guy. So I was like, is he the bad guy? But he wasn't the bad guy. That was my apologies, Teller. Except when you did the interviewing for the
later clearance, on,
then you were a dickbag,
fucking douche. But dude, so when they dropped the bomb, when the bomb drops, it's like the hour two mark, by the way. I looked at my watch. I'm like, God damn, it's dropped 2 hours into it. They drop this bomb and it's fucking quiet. Nothing goes off. I'm like, what the fuck? And I think everybody in the theater, at least in my theater, was like, they were bracing themselves, right? Because we're like, fuck. We're sitting in one theater with all the fucking sound systems going to go off, right? And it was just quiet, right? And then you see the reaction. Everybody's amazed by the fire. And then boom. Well, everybody goes flying that wasn't behind a security thing. And just the heat that you can almost feel the fucking heat, bro. Like, it was so fucking beautiful to watch that scene alone.
That was an epic moment. Just to see all of the fire, all the plumes of fire, and how it changes. I was like, dude, this is incredible. Christopher Nolan really dropped a bomb in the desert for that scene. And that boom literally shook my theater. I was like, everyone in my theater literally just like had to like got startled. I was like, what the fuck? I was loud as a motherfucker, bro.
Yeah, dude. Same here. Like, it's quiet and like your ears get I feel like they did something to the theater to make it even more quieter than it was supposed to be, because when it went off, dude, I was fucking there. I'm like, I saw this motherfucker go off. Like, the fucking thing was going to happen, dog. Like, I was like, oh, shit. The bomb went off. Dude, that shit was insane. I was like, holy shit.
That's like a moment that people are going to talk about forever in a movie theater. Like, dude, were you in the movie theater when that fucking thing went off? God damn.
Bro, what is it? The score of this fucking movie? Just the sound work and all the sound effects that they used?
Yeah, dude, it's done by a dude named Ludwig, I think. Oh, dude, Ludwig popped off.
Motherfucker said, I'm about to make you all jump. Boom.
It was crazy. So then, like, after that, it's like, that's when they're like, Oppenheimer realized, wait a minute, this is real now. Before, it was just like, it was fun finding the science of it, but now I'm like, we're really about to drop this on
people. Yeah, dude. And I And I thoroughly enjoyed the part when they were discussing what city to bomb, because...
All right, you're a psychopath.
I mean, and yeah, that kind of sounds bad. I enjoyed the fact that they made it, that they really
didn't
took
go
the
for
time.
Kyoto?
No, no. That they took the time to really show how little thought went into this.
Yeah, are they just really like, all right, well,
like these
we're
people
dropping it because...
gave no fucks. Like they were like, we have this bomb. This war can take forever. Sure, it's gonna save American lives, but let's just drop a bomb. Oh, but you can't pick this one because me and the wife went there on our honeymoon. I'm like, really? Just gonna fucking go eeny meeny my that ooh, that one. That one. Like
yeah, hey, it was like in such a discussion of, well, Germany already has surrendered. They're
yeah,
done.
Like
why would we go for Japan?
Like the Germans had already stopped. They had surrendered. Japan hadn't admitted surrender, but that war would have pushed in another year. You have to account for the loss of human lives on both sides. It would have been fucking drastic. The Japanese were saying, we're not going to give up. Fuck you. And dude, the dropping of the bomb, when they selected the cities and they were just like, I don't give a fuck, pick two. I'm like, damn, you have all this power and you're not going to put a thought into like what city you're about to destroy. Like how savage is that, man? Like, you know what the amount of casualties that you're selecting, you know that you're attacking a city with more civilian, a larger civilian populace and military populace, and you're still going to drop this bomb. I was like, puta madre, no fucking thought we're given. Those, whoever the fuck is related to those people, they must be like, fuck, my dad or grandpa or whoever the fuck look like a dick.
It was like, do we announce it? Do we not announce it? The fool's like, you know, if we announce it, I'm the one flying the plane, man.
Yeah, no. And see, all that was fucking great, dude. Like, they were always giving them a warning. I'm like, nah, big dog. You give them a warning, I'm going to get shot out of the sky. Then I'm going to drop this bomb fucking mid, I don't know,
Pacific.
Midway between. Yeah, so it's like, it's insane, dude. In that situation, what do you do? I mean, it's all fine and dandy now, retroactively talking shit about it. You know,
decision to drop not one, but two, just to tell you, yeah, we got more, dog.
Bro, the fact that they, like, this movie really makes
morals,
you rethink,
ugh.
Yeah, really makes you rethink, like, just what happened, dude. Like, we don't talk about it enough, man. Like, that was fucking, like, and then they go into it later, right, when Oppenheimer has these flashbacks of all the death and destruction that he's caused.
Oh,
and
yeah, once
the...
They
yeah,
said it was a successful.
Yeah,
like, oh.
The moment where he says it's a successful, he like goes through a time where he's fucking seeing dead bodies. He's
dude, that creeped me out, man. Oh.
Right? No, yeah, he's acknowledging the fact that he did something crazy, bro. Then you hear the numbers, like the bomb explosion only killed a certain percentage. The most of the deaths came out after with the radiation. Like, can you imagine just being like? Let's just knowing that, like, oh shit, my fucking baby out here did this. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, then you could tell the rest of the movie. He's basically,
oh yeah,
there's no fight in him. He's like, I did this. This
dude. The last hour of that movie shows Oppenheimer's life and how he tried with every bit of power to A, not let the hydrogen bomb be created, and B, oppose any fucking thing that had to do with dropping more bombs. Because what happened after that is what the world that we live in now, which is what Oppenheimer realized after the bombs were dropped, is that it's going to be a fucking arms race with every country in the world on who can build these bombs. And look at us now, dude. Our stockpile is slightly bigger than their stockpile, but everybody's afraid of that one day.
I was like, well, you don't even need a stockpile. Like, literally, three of them could end everything. Because
nah,
the big
bro,
part
you,
of it is, like, the movie
stockpile.
Is, he, like, we may ignite the atmosphere when we do this, and then it's over.
Bro.
I was like, that's a thing? That could have happened?
When he's like, it's like, it's near zero. I'm like, fuck.
Now I understand why he said, I would like that to be zero. I'm like, igniting the atmosphere?
Dude,
it's over. It's over.
The Wevels on these fools, bro, they're like, it's a possibility. It's like a 0.001% chance. We're going to take it. Nah, dog, you don't take that shot. You just don't. Like, there isn't a need. And I think one thing about war is when you go through it, the opposition is always the bad guy. And you get that and you're embedded in your mind. And during World War II, right, the Nazis were the bad guys. And they are. There's no doubt about that. But the Japanese and Japanese people, man, they were hated too because of what they did at Pearl Harbor. So for them to drop this bomb with that much carelessness, it makes you realize, like, at that point in time, they gave no fucks about these people, man.
Dude, and the 40s and the 50s were a different time, bro.
Dude, this entire fucking movie shows you how truth that is. The fact that you couldn't gather and have a political party affiliation to something that's not American is, like, crazy nowadays. We have all kinds of parties. People can do whatever the fuck they want, really. And it's like, that wouldn't fly back then. Like, you were un-American. You would go to trial. You would go to court. You would be judged on that.
And then Truman telling him, like, hey, stop being a crybaby, bro.
Oh, that scene was sick. He's like, bitch, nobody's going to remember you, dog.
Yeah, they're going to remember the guy that made it, the guy that dropped it. And I was like, oh, man.
It's so true, dude. I was like,
he's not wrong.
He is not wrong. He said, fucking wipe your tears, bitch. Get the fuck out of here. And then he's like, don't let that crybaby come back in. I'm like, damn. He said, like, bitch. No, and it's 100% the fact, like, Oppenheimer made the weapon, sure, but Truman was the one that gave the green light. And if you're going to put blame on anybody, hell yeah. But dude, so we kind of fast forward, right, towards the end of this, and we see that it's Oppenheimer's security clearance coming up. He's been this entire time, dude. I thought it was weird how during the interviews or the interrogation, whatever you want to call it, he's very submissive, very nonchalant. But in the movie, he's like, nah, fuck, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He's very, like, sure of himself.
Yeah.
You later realize that he's playing a game. Like, he's playing the long-term game of he knows what he's going through is not going to end in his clearance being reasserted because at this point, yeah, he didn't have a dog in that fight, dude. At this point in time, they want him out of this clearance because he's been talking a lot of shit about these bombs and the whole government wants him out. And then you realize that Strauss is the one orchestrating all of this. You're like, puta madre.
That was like a holy shit. Dude, it was
crazy. At no point did I think Strauss was the bad guy or the one behind.
No, I just thought he worked at the place that hired him. Like, all right, but then I was like, he's trying to be in that cabinet and he's getting this type of...
Even that was part of his fucking 10-year plan, bro. Like... The fact that so Strauss, there was a point in time, right? Strauss and Oppenheimer worked closer hand because Strauss was the head of like the science. He was one of the big dogs in
hired him, whatever.
It was like the Manhattan Project, right? And because of that, him and Oppenheimer crossed paths a lot. There was a lot of going back and forth with them.
Well, he hired him after the Manhattan Project because Oppenheimer was the most respected name in science because of that.
Right. So but that was at the university level, but they still worked together during the Manhattan Project. But there was one time where Strauss was trying to get some kind of like
the isotopes.
The isotopes. So there you go. And Oppenheimer was brought in to talk the government out of that. And in doing so, he kind of made Strauss look like a baby back bitch, pretty much. Is that an accurate assumption?
That's pretty accurate. Baby back bitch.
Baby back bitch. And because of that, dude, Strauss essentially orchestrated Oppenheimer's demise. That pettiness, bro.
Bro, he was petty until he was years in the making. And Oppenheimer's wife, she saw the whole thing and she's like, stop being a dumbass, fool.
Well, dude, and that's what I'm saying. Oppenheimer played the long game, bro, because he knew he wasn't going to get this clearance. This clearance was not going to get approved. They were picking on shit that they already knew about, big dog. Like, the fact that they knew his history, still hired him because he was the most qualified, still gave him the fucking job. He got the job done. Now he's trying to warn everybody about how bad this bomb can be. And then now that you're going after him, it's typical government, bro. You make a policy after the fact.
I was so fucking frustrated in his little interrogation thing. I was like, and they brought out all these things they had, but Oppenheimer's lawyers couldn't get it. I was like, dude, I'm so fucking frustrated right now.
Dude, and I think that that's what they wanted, bro. That frustration that the lawyer didn't have a security clearance of his own. So he couldn't see any of the things that the other 10 people in that room who had clearances could visually see. So he was asking for something. Oh, we can't give it to you. You don't have a clearance. Like, dude, frustration, that one-sidedness is what they wanted from that.
Bro, I was frustrated as a motherfucker in that thing.
Dude, it's every day of my life right there. You don't got clearance. Fuck. The fuck you mean, dog?
That storytelling and making me so fucking frustrated, bruh. Oh, my God.
Bro, you know who... So, there... Let me get his name, bro. Let me get his fucking name. I have the cast pulled up. I want to make sure I say his name right before I get a bunch of messages.
There are a fuck ton of names and a fuck ton of names I can't
pronounce. Dude, there are so many actors in this fucking movie that are just, like, just top-notch, bro. Just, like, Josh Peck played a role in this movie.
Yeah,
he was in
it for a little bit, yeah.
Dude,
Florence Pugh, Hartnett, her character, which,
bro.
She put her tetas on screen. I was like, what?
Let me see.
Oh, quick question while we're doing this. Florence Pugh's character, she's associated with the Communist Party. Do you think, there's a slight conspiracy out right now. Well, it's always been out. If she committed suicide or if she was murdered by the government so Oppenheimer could keep his
focus and this on the project. This is the girl that he was banging on the side, right?
Yes. The one that hated the flowers every time, threw them away. Do you think it was suicide or do you think government killed her?
I don't know, man. I don't see it past the government doing that if they thought that she was really, you know, interfering with Oppenheimer's thing. Based on the movie, I thought it was suicide. The way that they portrayed her as somebody who's
and there's that one emotionally moment where distressed. Like, there's a hand on her head with someone doing it. I was like, whoa! It was like
I thought she was pushing herself in. Yeah, it makes sense. I didn't see that. Yeah, okay.
And there's a time where like the Oppenheimer was being followed, and they followed him there to that thing, and like they knew about it. It was in the report. So I was like, I think the government got her. And probably, her brother came out and was like, yeah, the government totally did it. But there's no, like, proof.
So, I didn't know that, man. That's crazy. I honestly can see the government doing that. Rami Malek, bro. That's who I wanted to give it.
He gets down too, dude. He's the one that had the balls, bro.
Dude, he had the most... The cojones. Like, he's such a big name, I feel like. He had the littlest screen time possible for somebody with such a big name.
Yeah.
But the role that they gave this motherfucker was the guy with the book. He was a motherfucker that wrote down notes for every fucking meeting. You only see him ever writing notes or being somebody's assistant. The
Chicago division.
Right. My boy, at the end of the movie, comes in and just takes the biggest shit on Strauss's parade I've ever, out of anybody. It's insane. Like, Strauss is about to get into this cabinet. His power is about to fucking multiply by 20. He's going to be the guy, like the science bitch of all the science bitches. And my boy Rami comes in and says,
nah, he's a regular bitch.
This motherfucker ain't no science bitch. He doesn't even have a degree.
He's a regular bitch.
Dude, he points out what he's doing to Oppenheimer. He points out all the stuff that he's done to other scientists in the world. And it's crazy, man. It's insane that he comes in and just, like, he's the reason why Strauss doesn't get the cabinet position. Yeah, why his career takes the final a toll. Vote.
Yeah. I was like, dude, this is, like, wild. And, like, this isn't just a story. This is history. This actually happened. You're just like, this is dude, I was like, the storytelling they did and the way they framed it and the way Robert Downey Jr. would tell from his point of view, incredible.
Yeah, no, for a fact, dude. This movie, overall, I gave it a 10 out of 10. I left that theater fucking just impressed, dude. It was almost worth being traumatized for the remainder of the week after watching the Exorcist trailer. But, like, the movie was pretty dang good.
Dude, the way they doubled up and then finally let us in on the conversation between Oppenheimer and Einstein. I was like, forget that Einstein is, like, he died in the 50s, bro.
Yeah, no, dude, like, and such a insignificant conversation, bro. Like, in all actuality, like, that is something that Strauss replays in his mind as he was talking, like, they were talking shit about him, you know? Which goes to show, like, what little self-esteem he had. Because he thought he was, everything was about him. It's almost as if he was conceited to a point of fault, you know? And it's
that
crazy,
conversation,
man,
was, like, icing on the cake of already a 10 out of 10 movie.
Oh, yeah. And it's the little shit, bro. It's the stuff like the quote at the beginning of the movie. The stuff where they take you to New Mexico and the camera angle makes you, you know, shows the natural beauty of that location and just how like the savagery of politics back then, how nobody was safe, the constant fear of being discovered as a fascist. Like it's insane, dude. Like overall, this movie was like deep. It was on a deeper level than most.
Literally, and it was, there's literally no words to describe this, but like,
nah,
Christopher Nolan is that fucking dude.
Oh yeah. Yeah, this movie's in a clear house at the what's the next one? Oscars or Golden Globes?
I don't know. Emmy's got delayed. Who knows? Fuck.
Puta madre, one of those motherfuckers, whatever show doesn't get delayed.
I don't know. The only one that matters is the Full Fiction Awards.
Yeah. And this one's number one in my book, number one in my books. But Barbie's number one in my heart. It's a lose-lose.
And then one other thing I want to ask you. Some people are kind of like, they wanted to see the bombs drop on Japan. Did you? Nah. What'd you think? I didn't want to see it either. I was like, this was perfect.
Not only did I not want to see it, like, I've seen pictures of what the bombs did to the Japanese people, and I still don't like that. That stuff is just fucking horrible. But I think the way that they did it in the movie worked for the purpose of the movie. Yeah. It wasn't about, you know, the attack on the cities as more as the creation of this bomb and the way that the creator felt after the bomb was made, which is really what it was.
I was like, yeah, this is a story from his point of view.
Yeah.
Which slightly shifts later to Strauss's point of view, which is like, dude, this was incredible.
Yeah. Nah, dude, I don't think the movie needed it. And I think the way that they talked about it was tasteful. Like it wasn't, like they had opportunities to show the you know, the bombs dropping or what it did to the people, and they didn't do it. Like at the end, there's a scene where they have all these scientists in this room, and they're like, "Oh, on this next slide, you'll see what the radiation did to this little girl." But you never see that image.
He just turns away and looks. It's like, oh, dude, thank God they didn't show those.
No, images. Yeah, like I'm like, okay, thank you. Like I think for the purpose of the movie, what they did was what they wanted to do, it was justified.
They're literally like no fucking notes. This is a masterpiece.
It's a great movie, man. Like honestly, they outdid themselves on every spectrum for this movie.
People talk about Tom Cruise saving the movies. Nah, Christopher Nolan and Greta Gerwig, they saved.
My girl Greta and Christopher. The cinemas. Like, we got you. Because of these movies dropping, they're, you know, the strike is coming to fruition. They're talking now, right?
The writers. That's the writers, not the actors.
But if one ends, I'm sure the next will end. Like it's
it's progress. It's no matter what, it's progress.
Yeah. But yeah, man. I mean, I think that's all I have on these.
That's all I have. Just fucking chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. If you haven't seen the movies, go watch them. They have our thumbs
Oppenheimer's
up.
Oppenheimer's gonna take a minute, but it's a great watch.
Hell yeah! But hey, pick the hottest day of the week and go fucking watch a movie.
Sitting in IMAX, bro. That was my first time watching a movie in IMAX, dog. I was like, holy shit, this screen's huge.
It was well worth it.
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, well, thank you for listening, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Hell yeah! All right, peace.